Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Hunt Lift Eat Podcast.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Oh, man, it's been a day, but we're not going to talk about today. We're talking about the last 2 days.
Yeah, this is part two from the episode that dropped last week.
Yeah, so to pick up where we left off, we had put some bulls to bed, the group, and decided to make a play for them.
Yep.
Want to talk us through that, John?
It's day two. We got dropped off up top.
Yeah, we're going to combine day two and three together because day three was pretty uneventful.
It's been a blur, dude. I don't even remember.
We've been up here for 2 weeks.
We found them on the glassing
pad. I feel like we live here now. We've belonged to the mountain.
You and I found them on the glassing pad?
Yeah.
No, this is before that. This is our big sojourn at the top of Fire Mountain and all the way
down.
So,
yeah, so we didn't see anything. We were just going in blind, kind of.
Oh, we were going in off where you guys had seen them the night.
Yeah. Elk you'd seen.
The day prior.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had seen them around last light, yeah, at that elevation. I think we were like 8.8 or something. And decided some of the guys here informed us that as opposed to walking straight up that Mount Everest, we get dropped off at the top and come down, which sounded great until you're walking down Mount Everest, and then it's a little scary.
And it sounds real great until your vehicle can't make it to the top. And
true,
you have to hike,
yeah,
the rest
so
of the way.
Vehicle, I mean, yeah, that was the north side of the mountain, so we, I mean, maybe we should have inferred that, but you would have thought that the guys who live here would have been like, hey, you might not be able to make it up.
Yeah, at this time there was no snow on the ground, which is not what it is right now. But the north side definitely was holding significantly more snow, like knee-high, post-holing in certain spots, snow.
Yeah, so we must have gotten out of the car like just under a mile straight line from where we were supposed to be. And there were a lot of switchbacks, so it was...
Yeah.
So we had to basically climb up the backside of the mountain. And it took us a while, right? It took us probably close to at least an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, it was, we were up. When we topped out, we were at 9.8.
Yeah.
We were almost at 10,000 feet.
Yeah, so we knew, I mean, and there, we had not seen any elk at the top. We knew we had to come down at least 600-700 feet before we started seeing anything. So the next hour and a half was just find, survive, right?
Yeah.
Survive and get lower.
Walking those high ridges and glassing.
Argue with each other, split up into a couple different groups to find a different way down, converge 500 yards later on a bench. It's like, what's up, guys? I guess we were both right.
We were slower, though.
I mean, it just, yeah, it was literally just pick your path. Each path is horrible.
Yeah.
Survive.
Oh, yeah.
It was steep, man.
The craziest part of the entire thing was, so we dropped off the top from 9. What was that first drop, you think? Like 800 foot?
Walking down the ridge?
Yeah, because it was that second cliff we were on, because we dropped down and had to come back up.
Yeah.
That one, we couldn't get off. And there was a... It looked like...
And walked in circles a little bit, trying to find the best path.
It looked like a... When we hear about the Indians running the buffalo off the cliff.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like with elk, except there wasn't a pile of dead elk on the bottom. Like, I don't... If
but
we
there
were
was
gonna,
plenty of tracks.
The tracks
right
went
off
straight
of
off. They weren't, like, side-hilling it. They went straight off.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how a 600-pound animal can go straight off of a cliff that we would have to rappel down with ropes.
The cliffs that we've seen them traverse is remarkable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think it's important. It's not necessarily a cliff, right? It's as steep as a cliff,
right,
but it's earth.
Yeah, it is.
So
earth.
They're not walking on rocks. They're whatever, digging their hoofs in.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't do it.
And it wasn't straight down, but it was as close to straight down as you can be without being straight down.
I mean,
down.
We looked down and said, there's no chance we're going down this. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah.
And they were walking right off it. It's wild.
But yeah, so we... Picked her out down, which I don't think anybody was thrilled about.
I didn't like it.
Carter's big time not heights guy, like we talked about in this last one. And but we're dropping down. I had a lot of practice from the night before of side hill and cliff, so I was able to get us down pretty easily. Yep. It wasn't a bad drop. And then it was picking our way through all the thick shit, trying to find the best route.
Yeah, so we finally dropped down to one bench above where we had seen them the night prior. And once we got there, we had to walk probably another mile to where we had seen them around this massive bowl with just like a number of benches. And we were on one of them. And if you go too far to your left, you probably die. And if you go too far right, you just are stopped
by
an impenetrable wall.
Was that the one you kept calling the stadium?
It seemed like, you know, like multiple, you know, like every, I think every bench is just, yeah, you look off the edge, it's 200 feet down, and I don't know, there's really, like, I don't know. I mean, we talked about it, like, we would shoot an elk down there.
Yeah, 292 yards, but then we'd have to figure out
how to get down there. Yeah, it would have to be an event.
Yeah.
So for folks to visualize, so if you're looking at it from where we spotted these elk and where we've been glassing from, you look at the far ridge, and it looks like a giant mountain with a bunch of stair steps of just timber and then like sand slides and cliffs and rocks and then timber. And it's a mix of scrub oak, buck brush, and then aspens. And there's some pines mixed in.
And beaver ponds up there.
Yeah.
That's what they were calling them.
Wildly, yeah.
A lot of ponds up there. But you can't see those from where you're glassing. And so every one of those benches, like when we were talking about this plan, it sounded awesome. We're going to get to the top. We're just going to drop and then hunt our way through this flat ground and then drop and hunt our way through this flat ground. And it's the opposite of that. It's the topography is so deceiving. And the other thing we didn't realize is when you're on that glassing point we were on, you thought you were at the looking down into the bottom, but there was two more benches below you. And then the bottom
that you couldn't even see from our glassing point.
Exactly. And so like the mountain almost like mirrors each other. The far mountain's just bigger and it just holds. And that's what we had spotted some elk actually. Of course we leave that side, go to the other side. And then we saw some cows on the far side, but it's gnarly how much terrain gets hidden, you know, and how different it looks. And like, I think we're getting better at looking at it and being like, yeah, it doesn't look steep, but that's definitely steep as shit.
Treacherous, yeah.
Yeah, when we stopped for a break, I was like, we're going to call this episode to go down, you got to go up.
Yeah.
Truly, yeah. Because, I mean, there were a lot of times that we dropped a lot of elevation and then
you have to get realized
there was no more dropping from there. And no. We had to climb back
up
to find
a
new
good ridge and go down the spine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like every one of those benches.
That was ass, dude. That was terrible.
Yeah, every one of those benches is an IV line.
I hated that.
Like,
I fucking hated that.
There's multiple terrain features behind each bench. So, like, what you're looking at from the far glassing point is just the front, and then it basins out on the backside. And then there's a bunch of micro basins all throughout. Like, it's fucking gnarly. But when you look at it from the top, you're like, oh, this is elk habitat for sure.
Yeah, and the other part of the problem is the contour lines here are 40 feet, which we talked about last night, right? So, like, it doesn't even look like a cliff on the contour lines. It looks like a regular slope, you know? And then you get up there and you're like, well,
can't walk.
It drops 40 feet in the span of 4 yards. So, of course, there's not 8 contour lines here. You know, it's insane.
Yeah.
You know, I come from Louisiana where they're right, like my contour lines on Onyx are 10 feet. So I see every dip, drop, anything in the terrain. Garrett and I were walking up yesterday and there's a saddle. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I have to be lost. There's no saddle on this map. It just says it goes straight up. But it was obviously less than a 40-foot change in elevation, so it just wasn't
there.
Wasn't on the map.
Yeah.
It's insane.
If you had 10-foot, if you had 10-foot contour lines here, your map would be brown.
Yeah, you wouldn't see anything.
Yeah. It'd be just all contour lines. But, yeah, so we hunted down and then went real slow. We saw some incredible sign.
Unbelievable.
Like, we saw a mule deer just rub area with some of the biggest, tallest rubs.
Rubs to the top of your head.
Yeah. And
fresh ones, too.
Yeah, real fresh, like that morning fresh.
Yeah.
Which I got me excited, but we just didn't see anything for critters walking through. I figured we would at least push some stuff up.
You guys found that bed? Well, found a ton of beds, but
yeah, there's a dozen.
Found
at least
deer bed from very recent.
Those are the elk beds. The whole herd had been bedded in there. Yeah, that was crazy. We just started walking through, and they were in the snow. You could see where they pissed and shit. There was still hair all throughout there, and that was really cool to see.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, basically, we got to that elevation line, and we walked around this bowl on this step of the mountain.
Yep.
All the way around till we got above where we had seen in the day prior, and the whole way. Would we walk 200-300 yards? We'd stop, send one or two guys over to glass over the precipice.
AKA John and Luke.
Glass over the precipice.
Pass. Not a big precipice guy. Not a big fan.
Just didn't see a whole lot. I mean, we saw nothing. I don't think we saw an animal.
No, and all the tracks were going down. So we came to the conclusion with this big front coming in.
They were going to be going down.
They were moving down, which probably was true, but not true for all of them. Clearly, that we'll get to later. But yeah.
So we got to the ridge line on the far west side, and from there it was just kind of a pretty steady departure.
Just heard from Garrett. He's alive. Nice. He's going to hunt his way back. Garrett's out right now. Jason Elk, we're all sitting in a warm cabin.
On, I think, one bench lower than we were on this hunt.
Yeah.
So.
We'll recap that.
We'll see Garrett in 4 hours.
Yeah, he said he's going to hunt his way back, so. But he's alive. That was good. We hadn't heard from him in a minute. In the InReach, he finally texted me
shout
back.
Shout out to Garmin InReach.
Yeah. Yeah, I will never not bring mine on a hunt again. That was silly.
I need to learn how to use mine more efficiently.
Yes.
Know your equipment.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Where it really comes into play, and I've never hunted country like this, right? Like,
oh, dude, it's everybody has to have one.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, like,
I didn't even know they existed.
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
Now that I know of the lack of service up here, except for in the freaking hellhole mountain.
Yeah, but it's even nice to have. I was thinking about this, like, dude, if you go on a road trip, you know, and you're cutting across the country and like, or your wife's going somewhere alone, like just, hey, here's my InReach.
Yeah.
Turn it on for the month. It's worth the $60 to be able to text when someone you love's driving across. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Not to mention someone you love's up on a mountain on a bench.
Right.
Staring down death every time they look through their binoculars.
Well, that's why Caroline wanted me to buy one, is because I started doing the solo stuff and nothing, not in like this, and definitely not fourth rifle where there's fucking 2 foot of snow on the ground. But she was like, I would prefer that you had an InReach. I was like, all right, so I bought it.
Yeah, I mean, we would have zero communication with Garrett right now if he did not have that.
Yeah, it's huge. So I think
just be guessing.
Yeah, until he walked back into
camp. Did he fall and break his leg? Did he kill an elk?
Yeah.
Or is he on his way back?
You'd have
lost?
You'd have no way to find him. Zero.
When do we go get him?
Did he perish hours ago?
Did he fall off the precipice?
It just gives you a lot of options. Because like that was one of the reasons we couldn't split into a bunch of groups during this, and that it was not the best tactic to move six deep in the wood like fucking Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
We weren't quiet.
To be fair, we had seen a ton of elk up there.
Yes. So
the original plan was to drop down to that bench
and then split
find up a couple different groups of elk, split up into groups of two.
We were missing a key component though.
Elk.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely missing the elk part.
But we got a lot of walking in and some rugged, beautiful country.
Yeah, you and I talked a little bit about that was a good kind of reset. Honestly.
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, I hated it. It was terrible, but.
Yeah, my life is a disaster right now with all the transition and everything, and I've not been sleeping well, and, like, I slept through the night for the first time in a long time after that.
Last night before bed, you were like, I did not do enough today because I am not tired.
Yeah, I was pissed. Foreshadowing the next day was not as hard. But, yeah, it was a good day. We put in 11 and a half miles, I think, somewhere in there on – some of the most rugged country I've ever been in.
For sure. For me.
Have any of you guys checked how much elevation gain we had? We'll have to look at that on our watches. But, yeah, it was a good day. Came back. Oh, this was... So, I bought outfitter tents for this place early in the season. Long story, we don't have to get into it. But we had to take it down. They were out for one of their drop camps. It was actually supposed to be where we were staying in the main camp in a cabin. Well, Carter happens to look out as we're getting ready to climb back out of the bottom to get out.
It was a nice open field. I was glassing it for deer.
And he's like, hey, is that your tent? And I've never seen these things because I just bought them and gave them to the outfitter because they needed them. And I look over and I'm like, Garrett, is that my tent? And Garrett's like, huh, oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. I work here. Never seen them.
I work here. I helped set it up. Never seen it. Been up to that drop camp multiple times. I was like, why don't we just walk to the tent? And then
let's get picked up.
Yeah. And then we walked there, and there's a vehicle for us.
Shout out to Ryan.
And I was like, Garrett, did they think we were beating us at the tent? and not the cabin, because we were getting ready to walk another, it wasn't that far, but it's probably
600 meters,
but straight up.
Uphill, yeah. Bummer.
It's not, and it, the 600 meters is not an issue until you add in everything we did prior to that.
Yeah, dude, I wasn't excited about it, you know?
You know, like, at that like point, right now, no big deal. Yeah.
The idea of any uphill was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that worked out. That was actually pretty awesome. If Carter hadn't seen that, we would have walked to a cabin and sat there and waited for somebody to pick us up.
Then we would have had to come back.
Then we had to come back and take the damn tent down in the dark.
Or today in the snowstorm.
Yeah, so.
It's a big 12-man tent, too.
Thanks, sweet.
It is sweet. Excited to use my rendezvous.
Yeah. If you're coming to rendezvous from the team, that's where you'll be staying. But yeah, so I kind of wrapped up day two. So big, it was really, I mean, high adventure day. Like, we were just in it, but not
big,
in elk.
Big walkabout.
Yeah. Got in a ton of miles, a lot of country. Saw some, I mean, the vista here is unbelievable because you've got like the closer mountains, but then in the distance, you've got the high peaks that are above timberline that were snow capped. Now everything's snow capped, but it was just a, it's just sort of been a really, really cool place to be. And like you said, it was a reset for me. Like, being out in these types of places, doing this type of shit, it helps me with everything. Like, it's just a hard reboot to the system.
Yeah. And then everybody slept great.
Yep. We were out.
Dude, remember, we were back like an hour before dinner, and John and I were like, I don't.
Almost skipped.
I might just go to bed.
Yeah. I was wrecked.
Yeah. Dude, me too. That was your second time up there, too.
Yep.
Then we rolled into day three, and we had a little slower pace.
What did we do in the morning? Oh, we went and glassed.
We went and glassed.
I think we glassed all day, day three.
Yeah, we did. So we woke up, and the snow had moved in. So it was
4 inches of snow.
And the fog.
Fog.
Really the big issue.
So we woke up, we couldn't see anything. So we drive out to the glassing pad. We check out another area. And you can't see. And we sat at the glassing pad for about an hour and a half. And it lifted for a minute. Like.
Yeah, we didn't find anything though, right?
Nothing.
Not in the morning.
Nothing. But it was crazy how like it like got thicker. And then just like all of a sudden went away.
Yeah.
Like just the thickest fog you've ever seen. It just went away. And then it rolled right
then
back
it was
in.
Back.
Yeah.
Then we came back, did a podcast, had some lunch.
Oh, God.
And then I did some road hunting.
We did some Black Friday stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You went road hunting.
John and I went to the glassing pad.
And Garrett and Cole went to the rock.
The rock.
So glassing. So you hunted, right?
Yeah. We got out. We call it road hunting. We were driving around, stopping at spots to glass.
We had 2 days left in the season. We were just trying to turn something up.
And these are all like roads on the property and like BLM roads, not
private land dirt roads.
Yeah, not two tracks. We're not road hunting off the fucking highway.
No, the roads are miserable.
I mean, I-70 is probably a good spot to do some road hunting.
I-70 split one of those herds out by Grand Junction half. Yeah, so we didn't turn up anything. So Garrett and I are pulling out because Tim, who's the owner of the outfit, he'd come back and he's like, oh, I just saw bucks. They're running everywhere. Like, because we got a break in the weather. And so it seemed like when the break of the weather happened, everything just turned on. And so Garrett and I were running up to a spot to where Tim said he saw him. Well, as we're driving out, like literally pulling out of where the lodge and the main camp is, I'm like, stop. That's a deer. And it took Garrett like 10 minutes to fucking stop. Not that long, but. And then he could not find it. I glass it, little 3x3, and I told him it like ran up into some thick brush, and I told Garrett to pull down, and I jumped out, set up.
It was 3x3 season, right?
Oh, yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that weather, I was like, if any mule deer is getting shot right now. And like this is I didn't realize how hard of a unit this is to draw. I got lucky and drew it with 2 points, but one of the guides here said he tried to draw it for like 6 or 7 years. So, but jump out. I'm glassing. He never comes out. Ryan, one of the other guides, comes down. And he's like, just jet it out of there. And so we're like, well, that sucks. But it was just crazy how.
Yeah. We were glassing him from camp.
Fast that thing moved through there. And the time it took us to drive 100 feet to get out to try to get glass on him, he had already just busted through. So, I mean, they're rutting hard right now. He was running.
He was on a mission. We were out here goofing around, and we saw people start congregating at the other end of camp, and John was like, I don't know what we're going to look at, but we should go over here.
I just started running.
That was that deer.
And then John was like, there's a deer. Somebody get some binos. It was a disaster. And then we were just watching him, dude, waiting for you to just.
Yeah. That was the epitome of sheeple, dude. I think like one person of the 15 knew what was going on. Oh, yeah. And it was Tim, right? And he like wasn't telling anybody. He's just like, somebody get on the phone and call him. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a deer in the field.
Yeah,
there.
I'm calling both of you. I don't even know what I'm calling you about, but there's got to be an animal, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to dial Gary.
Well, I saw it immediately. Yeah. As soon as we pulled down, I could see him. But by the time I glassed him, because he was standing in the road. It was before he moved into the – so I probably saw him before you guys were, because you guys might have been. And but then he ran up that ridge, and I figured he – I mean, I didn't know he was going to sprint through it. You know what I mean? Like, mule deer don't usually book out like that.
He was in the field for a minute.
He was. He walked across it for 15 seconds.
Did he?
But I think you guys were too low.
You couldn't see him, but he was in that field for a while.
But he was on a mission. You know, he put his nose down, head up.
He just
I mean, he
walked.
But so we dropped down below the tree line at the bottom.
Yeah, you couldn't see him.
He skirted the whole thing.
He walked right through the middle of the field.
We had the dead middle. Carter was zoomed in, and we thought you were going
to
shoot him.
I was ready for you to shoot him.
He was in that field for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I think you guys were just too low.
Too low. It cut the field in half. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't shoot him.
That's why we're saying, though, had you not, because you had just departed 20 seconds prior, you would have had a 500-yard shot prone from
427
from the sheeple area.
With an audience.
You would have had an entire crowd, even 20 people in your ear. Shoot it.
That may have been terrible.
427. Honestly, 427 off a bipod in the prone would have been preferable to.
From where
your truck is right now is 427.
Yeah,
and you could have even taken 100 yards off of that if you went down.
And there were 10 people out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't shoot him.
Yeah, me too, for no particular reason.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the next episode of the Hunt With D podcast.
And then we went to the glassing pad, and it was a bit chilly.
It was very cold,
a little south of Peru, if you will.
Yeah, so Garrett and Cole, we only had one vehicle, so Garrett and Cole went over the rock.
It's a geography joke for you, Tayshaun.
Our camera guy got the giggle shits right there. Carter's dad jokes.
Makes me happy.
So we went to the glassing pad. We were supposed to meet back down the hill at like 5:30 to get picked up. But pretty quickly, Carter and I found elk. So we never left. And Garrett and Cole ended up meeting us up there. And Garrett had a spotting scope. So we probably spent an hour up there watching this herd. But we found them. What do you think?
You found that first cow. I was still setting up my.
Well, yes, I'm very good on the glass.
Situation.
We know this.
Yeah,
but
John's not bad at it. And then I came over. You were like, "Get over here." Went over there, and they just started popping.
Ended up being close to 20, right?
25 total.
4 to 5 bulls in there, and they were. Man, they couldn't have been more than 300 yards from where we had dropped in the day prior, and gotten out. So we came down the mountain, hit our elevation bench, and we went right. Which was west.
And it was the same elevation.
They were just east.
Even after the weather.
Yes.
They had not moved down like everybody keeps saying they're going to move down.
And in fact, after we found this herd, they walked
straight up
the sand cliff and up another 100 feet in elevation.
No big deal.
Not to mention, on this, was that maybe concave or convex? Concave.
Mm-hmm.
Concave sand slide.
Yeah.
Two bulls were fighting.
Dude, that was epic.
It was literally like, you can't describe it.
It was
cool.
Garrett has a sweet video. We'll drop it.
It's like mountain goats, you know?
Yeah, I texted them as soon as they just started popping. I had those 12 buys, and they weren't too far away for that. And we were just counting them out. We were like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then before you knew it, we were at 18.
Yeah, and then
Garrett
dropped the spotting scope, and we're like, yeah, we think there's 2 or 3 bulls in there. And he's like, yo, there's at least 6.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
And he might have been exaggerating, but it was like a lot.
He thinks there might have been 8.
Yeah. I mean, we for sure saw 6 if you count spikes.
Yeah. And regardless, it was exciting.
It was awesome. And we watched them for an hour and a half.
We know they're going to be next year.
Yeah, right next to the pin. that Ryan never gave us. It says sit for rifle.
Yeah.
Did you see that yesterday?
No.
If yeah, Ryan, right above Ryan, I hope you listen to this
really?
Shit. Yeah, because we're on his Onyx, and John's talking him onto where it was, and literally exactly
and
what
go,
you
oh,
guys
dude,
saw.
They're right here on
like
this
last
pin.
Night at dinner?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, they're right here on this pin, and I click on it, and it says sit for rifle. Pinned
what did he say?
November 10th, 2022. I was like, dude, why didn't you share this with us 4 days ago?
Dude, and did you realize where you guys saw him? We were 600 meters on the other side of that point the day before.
I think closer. I mean, I can measure it right now, but it was...
if we had come on the close. Same elevation, we'd have been over top
but
of
dude,
them.
But, dude, that's the crazy thing about this. We never knew that even existed. You can't see it from up there.
No. Well, and that's... I think that that's a good point.
Like the ribeye.
The ribeye.
You can't see the ribeye from the glassing pad.
No.
Where those cows were the...
Was that Onyx, John?
I was trying to get on Onyx, but Instagram just got me good.
Fucking ADD over here. But yeah, I mean, the difference between the topo is just unbelievable. And I think that now that's something that we should have considered before we dropped is like if you're on that
elevation
is to just walk
and check every
and check,
pocket
check some pockets before you drop. I know.
Woof, dude.
But I mean,
yeah.
If you see them the night before, like yeah. To me it made sense that they would drop because of that weather coming in, but they went fucking up.
Dude, they don't give a shit.
No. Well, and like we consider this bad weather, but it's not even that cold right now. It's going to get real cold tonight.
Right.
It's just a lot of wet snow.
It has not been cold.
No. We were dripping sweat today.
Yeah.
And a foot and a half of snow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of wraps up that. I mean, that was an awesome way to end the evening because I was a little bit frustrated because there was that deer that I missed an opportunity on. Tim came down. There's this 160-inch buck that they've been seeing up above camp. And he's like, oh, I saw the big one. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I should have been with Tim today. So it was just like a – and then you guys came back. We're like, we saw bulls. I was like, all right, we're back in it.
We're back.
We're fucking back, boys. So, yeah, it's good. Because it was fun at the end of it when we were done, when we finished the 11-mile day. But to put in that much work when you know, the guys were on bulls the day before to not find anything. You're like, what the hell? All the sign we saw, didn't see anything, you know? So, yeah, I think there was definitely some good lessons learned on how to hunt them in this, like, steep, high country, especially during fourth rifle with the winter. And we probably overplay how much the weather affects them because they live in this, you know? And until the temperature really stops dropping and then everything freezes and they don't have any water and there's no food, they can hold up in this snow, clearly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the decision becomes, do we go back up that beast to go chase him again? But who knows?
That was a decision.
Yeah, but who knows, right?
I mean, that was the plan that we came up with. And it snowed a lot. I don't know, are we saving this story for...
Yeah.
We'll tell it next time what the last day looked like.
I mean, we don't even have the full story.
Yeah,
that's true.
Garrett's still on the struggle bus.
That's true.
That's why we can't even start it yet. We might have to just put these together because this is a short one though. So, Cola work is producer magic.
Yeah, so we had some real decisions to make on what the hell we were going to do for my last day hunting for sure. We're about to leave. And if we want to get back up there to get on them in the morning, we'd have to leave at 2 or 3 in the morning.
It's yep. It's such a time
and hike
commitment.
Up in the dark.
Yeah, it's such a time commitment
with snow coming
to do
in.
Any of this,
and then
like getting there, you got to get to the spot, which could take a couple hours. You then got to locate the bulls, which could take another couple hours,
which is even harder on their own elevation line.
Yes, much harder.
It's way harder.
And then you find them. Then you got to get into a shot distance, which in this thick shit is very difficult.
Yep.
Then you have to make a shot. Then You got to fucking start quartering and getting that thing out of there. And there's no good way to come off any of this.
It's all terrible.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume that is, without a doubt, the most difficult part of the 8 steps you just mentioned. And we didn't have to, and we didn't even encounter that so far on this trip.
It's, so that's when it actually starts.
Yeah, I think that's something we've mentioned it a couple times. Like, you don't worry about, what are you going to do? Not shoot an elk because it's in a bad spot?
You have to not, because if you think about it, you will just talk yourself into not shooting an elk.
Absolutely.
No point even going up the mountain.
No, might as well just
sit. Because there's short of shooting it at the bottom of the, from the glassing pad, there's no good place to shoot them. Even the other glassing point, the rock, it's a 600-yard shot to the bottom, which is doable on an elk.
That would be awful.
But the only way to do it is to drop down
800 feet
straight down, quarter it, and then drop down another 1,000 foot of almost sheer vert.
2 miles. That's, Ryan said they did that.
Yeah, that's what Ryan and Josh did.
As opposed to going up 600.
Yeah, they went down, that's how bad
miles.
It is.
They went down 2 miles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stupid.
It's gnarly country.
Could you tell me up 600 miles or up 600 yards? I'm like, dude, I'll do that. I'll do 10 trips by myself. That's no problem.
Until you look at it.
Never mind.
Precipice. For sure.
You need a 600-foot winch. Run that winch cable all the way down to the bottom.
Be a lot of toe straps.
Yep. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps us up.
I'm tired.
I'm smoked. This cumulative effect of this trip. I woke up this morning fired up, ready to go. But we've had a day. We'll talk about that later. But I'm smoked.
Yeah.
Close this out, John. What do you got?
You tired, John?
Man, yeah. It's, drink some water before you get here.
Altitude got to him a little bit.
I didn't even drink either. I drank one day, 96 hours before we got here. Alcohol, I'm talking about.
Oh, that was like, you should probably drink water, buddy.
Yeah. I was trying to prepare, and this shit will get you.
And we can talk more about that when we talk about what today, but it's, I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but when you're coming from way lower elevations, like we're living right now at 7,500 feet. We've been hunting from 98, mid-range in the mid-8s. Carter and I dropped down into the 6s today, which was, we still had to climb somehow. you got to go
this
up.
This is ridiculous.
You got to go up to come down. it's literally uphill both ways.
Yeah.
But really, paying attention and listening to yourself and hydrating and prepping and doing what you can, and then just not overexerting yourself. Because, John is a very fit guy, and he wants to go, go, go. But the cumulative effects of the altitude, you just can't. There's no training for it.
You can't cheat the mountain, Pilgrim.
Yeah, in the immortal words of
Bear Claw, Chris Lapp.
There you go, Jeremiah Johnson. Go watch it. But yeah, it's brutal. It's really brutal up here, and there's no training for altitude. It's your body's getting less oxygen than it's used to, and there's a lot of bad side effects with that, and it can get bad quick. So, knowing your body, paying attention to it's really important. But, yeah, that's all we got.
It's not to say don't do it.
Oh, 100%. You should do it. Just pace yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's a marathon. The last 4 days have been, pretty horrible, really, if I'm being honest. But, I don't regret it,
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's the most fun you never want to have again until next season. Next season,
yeah.
I'll be back.
I guess I will too.
Ask me in a week.
That's what I kept looking back at Carter. We're sitting on the edge of this cliff. We're all tired. He's clearly, his anxiety is through the roof because he is feet from the edge of it because there's nowhere else to sit but the very peak of this ridge. And I was like, in a month, we're going to look back very fondly on this. It'll be fun in a week. It was already fun.
Yeah.
Ready to do it again.
Yeah.
Maybe in a week.
Yeah, in a week. Okay. Give me a week.
Hell yeah. Cool. Well, that wraps us up. You got anything?
Nah, man. Listeners, appreciate the hell out of you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.